Thank you, buddy.
Yes, thank you. Oh, thanks. You can grab your seats. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that piano sweet, huh?
Yes.
Man, it's good I couldn't play like that. If I could play like that, I'd never go anywhere. I'd just sit in my living room. It would be hard. I've asked Jesus to let me just drop it in me, and I'd sit down by the piano and say, oop, it didn't drop in me. But it touches my heart. That's good stuff. Man, Pastor Chuck, you set me up, man. He was preaching about becoming love, and I'm sitting there, and things are flying off in me. I'm like, man, I get up here like a rolling train already. Just if you're visiting, welcome. We're not here to scare you. We're here to preach and encourage you in the good news. The word gospel means good news. The angel came in the field where the shepherds were on the night Jesus was born, on the day Jesus was born, and said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Man, there must be something amazing about the gospel, that understanding it is automatic great joy. Good tidings of great joy. You look at the average countenance of the average Christian believing person, and sometimes we have to question if we really understand the good news. And seriously, I'm not being facetious. We might let life speak louder than truth. And we might be trying to bring God into our life in hopes of a better one instead of a transformed one. And that would get sticky. Because Pastor Chuck said, if you're on the earth to be anything but love, it's going to probably be very frustrating. There's something I say all the time. I say, if you're a Christian for you, you're in trouble. Your Christianity's not going to be exciting and fun. If you're a Christian for your own sake, you've missed why you're a Christian. You're Christian for His name's sake. You're Christian for His image. You're Christian for His glory. You're Christian for others. And actually, the first thing you do to get saved is deny yourself. So you can't be a Christian for you. Because you just died. Now listen, there's a lot of frustrated folks out there that go to church because they don't understand what I'm saying right now. And somehow they heard a message that caters to them and blesses them and meets their need and gives them provision. And if we're not careful living in this country, our whole gospel message is all about what God can do for us instead of how He can make us more like Him. And if you're a Christian for what He can do for you, you're going to be in trouble because there's life's challenges and circumstances. The wise man in Matthew 7 has the same storm blowing into his life as the foolish. It's not because He opened a door. It's not because, why is God allowing this to happen? What did a door that open? Man, the storm comes to the wise and the foolish. The difference between the wise and the foolish, the wise have become the message because they've applied the message. The foolish have just heard it and haven't become. It's the only difference. There's sheep and goats in your Bible in the end of Matthew, and the only difference between the two is one group looked outside themselves and cared for others, and the one group just cared about themselves. If you really look at the sheep and goats, that's the difference. Didn't say one went to church and the other one didn't. First Timothy 1:5 says the whole goal of our instruction, some translations say the purpose of the commandment, is love. Through a pure heart, clear conscience, and a sincere, unfeigned faith. And if we've missed love, we've missed the whole point. Now, you got folks out there in the name of the Lord, Christian circles, we've shot ourselves in the foot over this stuff, representing God as mean, mad. What about the judgment of God? You can't just preach the love of God. God's a judge. God hates sin. And you got to get back to the Ten Commandments. The Bible says if you love, you fulfilled the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Now watch, the people that are out there a lot of times preaching about the Ten Commandments aren't even close to love. They're actually mad at people while they're preaching it.
Come on.
Proving that they don't understand the finished work of Christ in the gospel. They've become legalistic and religiously bound and blind. And if you tell them that, they might hit you. And feel good about it. Oops. Come on, man. I'm just saying. Listen, love fulfills the law because it does no harm to a neighbor. There's another place he talks about the law. See, because if you're walking in love, you'll fulfill the nature of the law and you'll look at them Ten Commandments and realize, man, living by the Spirit, it's possible to walk in the character, integrity, and purpose of God. And it won't be some legalistic going down the list. Did I miss this? Did I make... The Bible says if you walk in love, you'll fulfill the law. Jesus said, love God with everything you are, heart, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You can hang the law and the prophets on these two. And if you do these two, you've done what it's all about. It's pretty simple. I'm sitting there and you're talking about this and I'm thinking, man, I'll preach if you're a Christian for yourself. It's going to be a long, hard Christianity. It's going to be a tough ride. You're going to be up. You'll live like this. If you become love, it's amazing. Because love doesn't seek its... Love doesn't seek its... That's why it takes no account. No account of a suffered wrong. Whoa. That's pretty convicting. I mean, somebody just implies something negative and we're taken back and reveal that it's time to pursue love. Desire gifts, pursue love. Desire gifts, pursue love's first. Why? Because all the gifting was created to flow out of the healthy wellspring of who God is. And God is love. So I'm just kicking off. You just stirred me, Pastor Chuck. He made a good comeback because preachers aren't supposed to get up here and talk in a way that gets people lost. And that's what he did when he gave you that root number and stuff. I thought, get back to the gospel, Chuck. You never get anybody lost when you preach the gospel. Or when you give directions on the road. Well, I listened to that preacher and I got lost. I said, no, Chuck, that's not good. You're a preacher. Get back to the gospel. Let Trish handle the directions, man. It was just some funny bone thing struck me. I was just sitting there laughing. Because Chuck can preach the good news.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah, he can. I'm humbled. He lets me come down here.
Amen.
You guys all right? Listen, we'll pray for folks and stuff, but Proverbs 4 says, let's look at it. Why don't you look at it? Let's just look at it. I was going to quote it. I quote Scripture a lot because it saves a lot of time, actually, and I can preach more. Some people like looking at the Word. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 4. My subtitle, Security and Wisdom. It talks about wisdom. I'll just jump in and... Well, I was going to do 7, but 5 is looking good. You know how that is. You keep backing up, we're going to start Proverbs 1. Okay, let's read 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. I'm not against blessing. Don't think I am when I talk, because all weekend Mike make comments. And don't think I'm against blessing. Blessing is not your pursuit. Blessing is just part of knowing Him. Blessing just comes. Psalm 67 says, yes, our God, our own God shall bless us. We spend a lot of time seeking blessing. I'd encourage you to spend more time becoming like Him, seeking Him. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Whew. Your love is so much sweeter. Man, you get alone in a bedroom and you turn that thing on and you just start from your heart when nobody's watching. Let that be your desire. Things are going to get good. You'll see people different. You'll see your job different. You'll see things different. You'll get in there and change your eye. You know what's important about that? Your eye is the lamp of your body. What you're seeing determines how you're doing. If God can change your perspective, He'll change your whole life. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. Doesn't mean you don't have a challenge in front of you. He says the eye is the lamp of the body. Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is single, I mean, I'm talking not the way that seems right to a man. Not multiple choice. Yeah, but, well, this is how I feel. Wide view lens. Now, if the eye is single. See, because you have to understand something. All those other ways we think, you were trained to be thinking that way your whole life. By the wisdom of the world. You were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were born into Adam, into the spirit of the world, into the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of this age, we were trained and tutored by the way that seems right. But that has not produced life. That has made us right, made others wrong. It's created a mess. He said, she said, well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't. Well, they're the one that started. Well, maybe you should be talking to them, not me. That kind of attitude, self-defense, self-justification. Stuff's trapped, man. When pastor's talking about heart adjustment, it's good talking this way. These are family meetings, man. It's so that we keep walking. Because you get one little thing like that in your life, and you just pick back up a right that you laid down, it produces nasty, terrible fruit. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Why? It doesn't seek its own. It realizes the reason I'm on the earth is for His image. Period. I woke up today to look like my Father. And nobody else might not even want to, but you answer for you. You're the steward of your heart. Why are you letting someone else define who you are and telling him he's Lord? Why are you no more than a product of what you're feeling and experiencing, what people are saying and aren't saying, when He's already said it all by coming, sending His Son, raising from the dead, and giving you life through Jesus Christ? Come on, He filled you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's not so you can feel good. That's so you can follow Jesus. It's not just so you can do miracles. It's so you can be possessed by Him and have His heart and His mind and look through His eye. Because here's the deal. If your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. Doesn't say unless, of course, you aren't getting something you've been believing for. It says, if I see clear, it's revealed through my life. Come on, this thing is undeniable. When we're singing, I want to know your heart. This is stuff that's going through me. The gospel reveals the heart of God. God's heart towards me is revealed through Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. So in all my getting, watch, I'm going to get wisdom. I'm going to get understanding. I'm not going to turn away from the words of His mouth. I'm not going to forsake her, meaning wisdom and understanding. She will preserve me. Man. Love her and she will keep you. He's talking about wisdom and understanding. Not the way that seems right to a man. You can tell by what something produces where it's from. That thing that gives you right just to have an attitude, an opinion, something less than life-giving. That, whatever. The way you process, the way you think, that motive behind it, what it's producing tells you where that stuff's coming from. Are you guys following me? Watch this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. This is verse 7. Watch. And it doesn't say blessing, and I'm not against blessing. But in all you're getting, get. In all you're getting. Man, the word's awesome. It doesn't say in some of you're getting. It's the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. Now see, we were trained by the world. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. So you heard in your life what you don't know won't. You did hear that here. So they didn't just say that in Pennsylvania, York, where I was growing up. They said that here? Wow, they talk like that around the world probably. What you don't know won't. Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding, and people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And then he says in the next verse, which we don't quote, I gave you the knowledge and you've rejected it. It's come through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you read Hosea, point to the new covenant and interpret what he's talking about. He gave us the truth. We beheld Him in grace and truth. Jesus is the way, the... So His life lived is our model. He showed us what life looks like in the Father. And He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me. He said, follow me. Whoa. Come on. He didn't just say, go to church. Follow me. Well, that's a big deal to me. This is the kind of heart stuff I want all the time in my life. I want to wake up every day. I want to get so groomed in God and in relationship that when I wake up, I know why my feet are on the planet. And it's not to have a good day. It's to look like Him in the face of my day. And to manifest Him even when things are going wrong in the natural. People aren't seeing your motives clear. People are judging you wrong. All that stuff happens to everybody in this room. And sometimes we let what we're going through define who we are instead of what He went through. Already settle it. You guys with me? Come on, this is the way we preach the gospel. Because it's good news. Because you're not the focus, He is. And grace supports that. Look, if you're living outside of why you're on the planet, why would you expect grace to empower that? If you're living outside the reason you're here, listen, when 500 million plus sperm cells raced to your mother's egg and it was you handpicked before time, yeah? There's no accident. It's predestined before time. Seen before you were seen. Come on, you're not happenstance. Life comes from God. There's a time to be born, and here you sit. Ha! Will of God. Yes and amen to heaven, whether you know it or not. You might be letting life speak louder than truth, but it doesn't change truth. You might say, well, I don't even believe in God. Doesn't mean He's not real. I've seen him heal people in public. Look me in the eye and say, well, I don't even believe in God. I say, it's okay, I do. Can we pray? And then they get a funny look when things happen. We had a man in a pharmacy that was a manager walk into the photo department, wouldn't let me pray. So we prayed anyway, and his hand came alive on the way to photography. And then he yelled through his own store he was managing in a loud voice, now you're freaking me out. You're making me very afraid. What's going on? And I yelled with a loud voice. Just because you don't believe in Him, sir, doesn't make Him not real. He has loved you the whole time through the blood of His Son. And I preached the good news in his store with a loud voice. He started it. You can live this way.
Yeah. Come on.
The more real He gets inside of you, the more real you'll express Him.
Amen.
And then it's not an evangelistic thing. It's just who you are. You're not trying to minister.
You're in love.
And if He's real, then He's real.
Right.
You guys all right?
Come on.
There's lots of good, cool stories, but the bottom line is we grew up hearing something opposite than this book says. What you don't know won't hurt you. And he says wisdom's the principal thing, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So if Jesus is the truth, we probably ought to look at Him to understand. Want to know your heart? We sang it over and over. It was so sweet. The atmosphere was just right, man. It was beautiful. We camped there and it was just good. And I thought, man, I'm going to preach good because Pastor said, let's all pray something right now. That God, You give us a radical revelation of the gospel and that we see Your Son and see Your... And I thought, well, now I'm going to preach really good. I thought, this is a lock. This is the stuff in all our getting we've got to understand, because sometimes you can have the wrong understanding of Christianity, of God. You can hear wrong teaching. You can just make all the emphasis on the answer of prayer or blessing and miss the heart of God the whole way along. You go to church your whole life, get thrown into crisis and react like the man that never went to church. Surely the gospel's greater than that. Come on, it's the answer of a transformed life. It's the power of a transformed life. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed, molded, shaped after, complied to the world. But transformed by thinking different. Come on, the attitudes that I grew up with are unacceptable in the kingdom. They have nothing to do with the nature of God. They're self-serving, self-centered, and gave me an excuse to remain in the flesh. But when I became a Christian, I did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. That's what's taught all over this country. The big push is getting a prayer prayed to go to heaven to get your name in a book called life, because we read that our names are in a book called life, and they are, and I'm thankful. But if your motive is going to heaven, you're going to miss heaven in you. I am not a Christian to go to heaven. Jesus is not. I just saw it on a billboard of a church. Jesus, the way, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And then underneath it said, or the truth and the life, and underneath it said, the way to heaven. Whoa. He's the way back to the Father. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father. Father means come forth from. That means we originated from Him. We got separated from Him through the fall. Jesus came to get us back to Him. So we have a high priest seated at the right hand, seeing then, Hebrews 4, we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Come on, let us come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy and receive help in a time of need. He's our Father. He comes back inside of us through the person of Holy Spirit and restores us back to the beginning where He said, let us make man in our... Whoa. So the gospel is the restoration of God's image. In Matthew 18, He didn't say He came to save who was lost. He came to save that which was lost. What's that which was lost? Your created value, your destiny, your potential, your legacy, your heritage in the Lord. What was lost? The image of God in man. The day you eat the tree, Adam, is the day you surely die. He lost His identity when He ate the tree, and what He was made to be was lost, and He became a God unto Himself. Self-sufficient, self-ingenuity, self-protecting, self-defending, self-judging. And Jesus comes and says, if any man come after Me, He did not say, let him pray a sinner's prayer so his name's in a book and he goes to heaven. He said, if any man comes after Me, let him deny himself. Why is that first? You were never made for you. You were made for the image of God. It became all about you when man ate the tree. And every man since that day was born into Adam, and you must be born again. We've turned born again into a sinner's prayer. Born again is a transformed life, putting off the old, putting on the new. Putting off and putting to death the things of the flesh and putting on the life of Christ. Yeah. There are so many scriptures that back this, and somehow we've missed it and haven't preached it at large. I was 33 years old, went to church till I was 20, gave up going because I thought this poor fellow Jesus, what was he thinking? Gave his life for perpetual failure. Somebody that can't get his heart straight, says he'll do good and does wrong. What was he thinking? And one day He wants me in this party called heaven, and I don't even know Him now. I don't know what's going on, but I hope it's true. So of course I'll pray the prayer. Wonder if it's right. I want to go to heaven. Rather go there than anywhere else. If it's available, pray the prayer, man. Duh! Didn't leave my life changed. And then I got saved at work one night with no human being around. Just God made a draw on the seeds, people praying for me, and took me into my bedroom and opened the Word of God. And I went, wow! You made me for Your image. Jesus came and became what we were so we could become what He is. He's firstborn among many brethren. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. As the Father sent Me, so I send. As He is, so are we in the world. All of a sudden, the Scriptures come alive. And the Gospel makes sense. Christ in me. The hope of making God seen and known. Because the word glory means any manifest attribute of God. Whoa. The Christ in me is the hope of seeing Him. Be careful you don't make Him your basket of blessings. Be careful you're not just a Christian for what He can do for you. And please don't hear others are Christians and then judge them to see if they're living it right. That already exposes your heart. You're called to love one another. If any man come after Me, that means everybody's invited. if anyone come, let him first deny himself. How can you deny yourself and have all these rights? Well, I feel, well, he said, well, they shouldn't have, well, that ticks me off. You're just relating to what you were taught by your whole life. Man, if God fought like that for one day, he wouldn't send his son. A bunch of idiots, they're never going to get it right. Come on. Don't take the word idiot personal. I'm just being relatable. Because when somebody doesn't get it right over a few, 8, 7, 10, 12 times, they qualify to be certain things in our vocabulary. Did you ever hear right more than once and not get it right? I wonder if God took the approach and mindset of men. Right there you can see the mind we grew up with is not the mind of God. We've just separated God and made him this way and us this way, and then we wonder why he loves us, because we weigh our value based on our performance. He weighs our value based on what's possible and what he created us to be, filled with his spirit.
God loves who you're created to be. He loves your destiny. He loves your potential. And he knows what you look like when he's in you and you're surrendered. He loves that picture. And he seems to think that's worth the blood of his son. And we've turned it into a prayer of blessings or heaven. And he said the kingdom of God is here and it's in you. It's good news to me. It's kept me smiling for 19 years without fail. I'm not like growing dimmer. Running out of gas. Whew, ministry really wearing me out. Oh, okay. No, that's a whatever. No, we're in love. We're in relationship and fellowship with God. You can't give what you haven't become. You get caught in doctrine. You get caught in just mechanical stuff. All of a sudden you're trying to live the Christian life instead of become the Christian life. And if you don't let this thing happen in your life, you'll let what people say speak way louder than what he's already said. You'll let your feelings live your life for you. And the trouble is your feelings are perverted from the fall, and you've been trained the way you feel your whole life. And even those things can get redeemed. There's scripture that talks about the redemption of your soul, the saving and salvation of your soul, meaning your mind and your emotions, where all of a sudden you actually think different. Isn't that awesome? Where all of a sudden you go, all that stuff we've done. Like, they said, what? Oh my God. And then you react and you can't get over it, and it goes through your head 100 times because now you're insecure. They said, what? And all of a sudden, see, I knew I wasn't lovable. I knew people didn't like me. Come on. Do you know when people go to church, regular servant ministries, have insecurity and identity crisis and need people to say nice things to feel nice? It's a sure sign that we don't know him like we could. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's in Ephesians 3. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with the fullness of God. I looked up the word fullness. It means a house with no empty rooms. It means a ship full of cargo with nowhere to store another box. It means a town with no empty houses. It's called the embodiment of Christ. Woo! I think the gospel wants to transform us. Say, well, yeah, but brother, everybody has their moments. That's why you have yours. Because you have a grid for them. You've laid a landing strip for them. Wonder if you stop believing that and believe grace is greater than your fallouts or weaknesses. And wonder if weakness can get swallowed up by strength. Wonder if life in the Spirit's different than life in the flesh. Wonder if you live by the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wonder if you really can be changed.
Wonder if our experience needs to die and the wisdom behind it. Wonder if we really need to give it a shot and live by faith and believe that Holy Spirit can live in us and through us and change our everyday life. I bet that would be awesome. Do you think maybe with all these scriptures it's possible? I quoted how many scriptures that say this is all the heart of God. I want to know your heart. We're singing that and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm just going to share your heart and send in the Son. So why God send His Son? Did He just send His Son to forgive sin or to reveal value, destiny, and calling? People say, well, Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sin. He had to die because you sinned, but He died on the cross to pay the price for your sin to get you back to redemption so you could get back to the beginning where Adam was before the tree. So the cross doesn't expose your sin, it removes your sin to expose your value. Nobody would pay such a high price for nothing. In your whole life, if you're not careful, you'll hear the gospel in a way where all the cross does is expose the fact that I'm a sinner. No, nobody would die for a sinner. He died because you're not made to be sinners. You're made to be sons and daughters. The righteousness of God in Christ, filled with His Spirit, houses and temples of the living God. We so relate to our ability to sin and the fact that we have the potential to sin that we stay under the identity of that weakness and never let the weak say, I'm strong. Come on. The Bible says many places, you're dead to sin, reckon yourself dead to sin, you've died to sin. To live for righteousness, don't present your members unto God as unrighteous. Present your members unto God as righteous. For holiness, which fruit is holiness? Righteousness, the fruit of righteous living, is holiness. Look, if you make a tree good, the fruit's automatic. If you inspect your fruit, you'll identify the tree accordingly and you'll strive and struggle or give up hope. He never told you to change your fruit. He said, make the tree good. How do you make the tree good? Start where He finished. If you don't start where He finished, come on. Listen, this is as clear as I know to preach the gospel. It changed my life. I'm not saying you have to go, wah! But be very careful that you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because every sentence I'm quoting Scripture to back what I'm saying. Come on. I haven't said more. You get the tape. I haven't said more than two sentences without a Scripture.
Come on.
Yeah. So you want to preach in a way where somebody's in the position where they either have to hear and go, wow, or I don't want that. That's why there's a judgment. They either say, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm going to go after this and grow, or whatever, don't want it. Oh, I hear it. I don't want it. Or I don't believe it. That's a cop out. Come on. Because you can hold on to the right to remain the same. But what's that producing? Come on, if you're still frustrated, if you're still angry, if you're still hurting the folks you say you love, talking to somebody right now. It's time to get humble and really hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Going to church doesn't change your life necessarily. Getting alone with Him and getting real with His gospel, that'll change your life. Surrendering your rights and your privileges that you inherited through the flesh and things that aren't producing life. You say, well, somebody has to hold people accountable. Not you. No, let that up to somebody else. You get a right heart. Because honestly, you don't even in the church, you don't even have authority to correct somebody just because you see they're wrong. You correct them because you love. And then grace attends your words. There's a lot of hurt done among us because people just talking. Well, the Word says, okay, I know the Word says, but if you're such a stickler for the Word, why not let that thing change your heart? I've met folks in my 19 years of salvation. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it because it's right here in my heart. In 19 years of being saved, I met people that could quote the Word twice as much as me. And they were some of the meanest, angriest folks I've ever met. And it's a tragedy that they let the word produce that in them without reading it in the heart of God to send a message of God like that to all the hearers. Thinking God's just mad at all their co-workers and quoting scripture at their co-workers. Rather than love their co-workers so they can break and melt, because the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Yes. Yes. People say, well, what about the judgment of God? Mercy's triumphed over judgment. It doesn't say judgment leads men to repentance. It says the mercy of God does and the goodness of God does. Sin is triumphed over by love because it covers a multitude of sin. Doesn't mean it's accepting sin. It's exposing it in love and in the light of truth. And there's this amazing convicting component that comes to the guilty one when they're loved by God rather than judged by God. Come on. Okay, we're going to go there real quick. I want you to see this. No, I hear things inside me and stuff. I can hear wheels spinning right now. No, it's good. That's just go ahead. Let's go for it. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's just do this because I want you to see this in the Bible. I'm talking to a couple folks in the room right now. I rarely do this and acknowledge that I'm talking to a few folks, but your upbringing, see, you're faith people. So when you're taught something your whole life and you hear something contrary, faith teaches you to defend that thing you've been taught. But if you can see it in the Word and you stay teachable and you really look in the Word rather than go, well, that ain't what I was taught. It doesn't matter what you were taught. What's the Word of God saying? What's the Spirit of God saying through that? You say, well, there's many interpretations of the Word of God. Well, did you ever get alone and ask Him what He's saying? Because a lot of times people just get in these heady combats and haven't even spent time with Jesus. Knowledge puffeth up, love builds up. Come on, you'd rather be built up than puffed up. And you'd rather build up than puff up. Come on. Listen, some of us, we've been taught by the fall of man so much that some of us continue to have the same old attitudes just because somebody did something wrong. Jesus did all this right and God said, no, 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 get your eyes off of that. Stop letting that fashion you and make you who you are. I know it was wrong. And then we get so caught up in the fall that we say, well, if God loved me, why did He let Him do that to me? That's the next step people go, because they're justifying their flesh. It's all a lie and it's not producing life. It's producing death in you and in the recipients of your attitude if they take it personal. Are you guys following me on this? And all of a sudden, when you look at that attitude, it's not producing anything good. It's giving you a right to be mad or angry or hurt or deceived or discouraged or frustrated or broken or hopeless. And when you look at that fruit, that's not cool. It can't be God. You say, well, why God let it happen? God made man in His image. Man ate the tree. Man stepped out of His word. Sin's trying to ravage folks. People are being people and doing things apart from salvation. Now we get saved, man. We're to deny ourselves, get out of the rat race. He called us out of darkness into the light. He delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He told me to get water baptized and in that process put off the old man and his deeds, put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to His image. It's all through the Bible. And I went to church till I was 20 and nobody told me what I'm telling you tonight. They just told me I ought to knock it off, try to be good. We're still always going to sin. It's amazing He loves us, but He died for us, and that's His great love, that He died on the cross. So keep coming to church, because one day we want to go to heaven. And I'm like, so why does He love me so much? Well, it's just nature of God. God's just that way. He just loves you. Even though you're a sinner, while you were yet a sinner, He sent His Son. He loves you. He has this love. God's a lover. God's love. He loves you. No ability to see myself as Him or Him in me or being changed into His image. No ability to look through His eyes, through mine, and see you. Just need to go to church. He died. You want to go to heaven, not somewhere else. Okay. I'll pray your prayer, dude.
Come on. How's that changed us? You can't even relate to his love, and all of a sudden his love's a question mark. And all of a sudden his love's a mystery. He died on the cross because he knows what he created us to be, guys. He knows our destiny, our potential. He knows what life in the Spirit looks like. So he paid the price to get us back to the beginning, where it was God in man and God through man, before sin, apart from sin, where we could live in his kingdom again and make his kingdom known right here on the earth. Hallelujah. Come on, anything else will leave you dry, give you the right to be hurt and offended and discouraged. Come on, be real with me. If you're discouraged, who's your focus on? Love takes how many accounts? Oh, no account. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. So why do you still hold on to the right and say, well, he hurt me or she hurt me? Well, they shouldn't have did that. Well, I went to church once and the pastor, okay, I'm sorry that happened, man. I am really sorry. But for some reason, you're identifying God with the pastor and through the pastor instead of God through his son and with his son. And you've got a deception. Now you've got another right to remain this way. You got attitude because of a man instead of the Spirit of God. Come on, I sit on airplanes and get talking with folks, man. And they all have church stories. Well, I've been to church. I don't go to church anymore. I had a terrible church experience. Okay, so what's that have to do with knowing God and having intimacy and fellowship with Jesus? So you've left men talk you out of him again. I was sitting on a plane with a lady and she asked why I was traveling and if there was heading. And I said, no. And she said, well, why were you here? And when I began to tell her, she just... She turned her shoulder a little and got her book and started reading her book and just blew me right off. Just end of conversation. Wow. And I'm a little more secure than that and don't have a whole lot of fear of man in me. So I tapped her. And I said, you didn't just do that to me, did you, really? You like really didn't do that. And she says, what? I said, you just blew me off. I said, as soon as I mentioned Jesus, you turned. And I was really hoping you'd tell me you love him. And I poked her. I said, you do. I said, you do love him, don't you? Come on. And she said, well, I have my belief systems. Now, you have to understand, I'm not being mean to her. I'm not being smart to her. And I'm not pushing her. I care about her because when she does that, I can tell she's believing a lie. Come on. Because of what it's producing. It's given her all this right to have this attitude that's going to destroy her whole life and give her a right to be right when she doesn't even understand. It's called human pride. The Bible says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen, and we do the opposite our whole life. Feelings are flared up in a moment, don't want to hear nothing. Think about it. Come on, be real with me. Quick to anger, quick to speak, and don't even know what we're talking about most of the time. Be humble and be honest. It's just men will mock and scoff the things they don't understand. It seems like if you don't understand, you'd wait out and keep quiet. Probably shouldn't say nothing. Probably mock and scoff's not a good idea if you don't get it. See, it's just the pride of man. It's the fall. We must be born again. Born again is not a prayer to go to heaven. It's a transformed nature and life, yes. Attitude, mindset. So I tapped her and I said, honey. And then she said, well, I have my, and she said it like, you know, so she was like, back off. She said, I have my belief systems. And I said, oh, that's tragic. This is what I said. I whispered, I said, what? Oh, that's tragic. She said, excuse me? Now she's closing her book. Now we're engaged. That's what I want. Come on, if you didn't care about people, you just let her have her little attitude. Say, oh, fine, I know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. Huh? She's lost. Let her be lost if she wants to be lost. Fine. Come on, that's weird. If I really care about her, I want to engage. I'm not threatened by her. I want to understand what's going on. If you care about her, you don't just turn people off because they bother you. That means you haven't grown very much in love. First impressions, walk in a room, decide who you like, who you don't, gravitate to those you're comfortable with, stay a million miles away from the ones you don't understand or freak you out. Well, wonder if love doesn't see a room that way. wonder if love sees people that were worth the blood of Jesus, period, whether they understand or don't understand, no matter how they're acting, no matter what they're venting or expressing, no matter how they're carrying themselves. Come on, God's not appalled by people. He loves people. He wants to change those things that seem appalling. We always say He loves the unlovely. It's the things that appear unlovely that He wants to remove. He loves people. Watch this. On your darkest day, on your most confused, deceived moment, He knows who you are. So He's not thrown by you.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. On your darkest day, you said, "That ain't you. I know you. And you're worth the blood of my Son, and I've paid a price for your redemption." This is the sense of love. This is what makes Him love. He loves you in the midst of the deception, the weakness, the expressions of things outside of Christ. He has the ability to separate what you're giving yourself to from who you're created to be. He separates those two, and He keeps His eyes on what you're created to be. "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Well, why does He care so much? Is He just that lonely and needs a friend? Why would He go to the extreme of being innocent and get killed as guilty and have to go into the dead and raise from the dead? Think about the gospel if it's true. Why would He go get planted into the womb of a woman as if He's God? Why would He go sit in there and go through her birth canal and be dependent on her and poop in them little raggy things they had back then? And come on! Why would He become a man when He was God if He didn't see something valuable about man? Come on, this isn't just an Easter story. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. It's a little more deeper than that. Holy Spirit planted Him inside the womb of a woman. He had the crock pot in there for about 9 months, just like we did, and didn't take a shortcut. Did everything as a man to be the captain of our salvation, the perfect sacrifice, was tempted at every point, yet without sin, was completely innocent, judged as guilty, and now we go free because He died. We can live. It's amazing. So what did He do? He fulfilled what man failed. And He followed Him. And He didn't eat the tree. And now He took away the fact that we ate the tree and said, "Now let's get back on course, guys. Follow me. When you see me, you've seen Him." This is what life looks like. Everything you were taught's a lie. Die to that. Follow me. We turned it into denominations, church attendance, worship services, praying over our food. Now I lay me down to sleep. It's follow me.
Come on.
Just follow me. Let me tell you what 1 John 4 says. It's so convicting. We're already convicting enough tonight. We might as well throw one more on the fire. It says, "In this love is perfected, that we have boldness in the day of judgment." Why would you have boldness in the day of judgment? Because you went to church? Because as He is, so are we in this world. And the whole chapter is, He is love. He is love. He is love. Now talk about miracles. Talk about love. And He said the boldness we have in that day means we've been perfected. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Before it gets down to that point, guess what it says in verse 7 and 8? That's 17. The whole section is about love. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Well, why should we do that? Because God is love. Watch. "And everyone," not some, "everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He who doesn't love just doesn't know God." Doesn't say you don't go to church. Come on, read your Bibles. "He who doesn't love just doesn't know God." Doesn't mean you don't see your need for a Savior and weren't sincere when you prayed the sinner's prayer. Doesn't mean you're not forgiven of the mistakes you've made. Doesn't mean you're judged and condemned to go to hell. What He's saying is, if you don't love, it's because you don't know Him. And here's what it's saying. If you do know Him, you have to love, because God is love. See, that's the kind of preaching we didn't grow up hearing. We've just accepted to be people because we've learned to be people by experience.
Come on.
And then we judge everybody else's experiences and make ours valid. But when we look at Jesus, if our life doesn't look like Him, maybe we're not living the life. Because He didn't say, sing to me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, pray to me when you're nervous and things are tight. He didn't say, take on the identity of what you're going through and then cry out to me. He said, take of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know why it's easy and light? Gets your eyes off of you when you become love. And you start thinking about God and everybody else and your life's finally free. Because when the attention's on you, life is so hard. Because you were never made for you. It's the biggest lie of humanity, living for you. Your feelings. Just your own dreams apart from God's glory. Just your own little will and fantasy. Life is tough. You'll live at the expense of folks to make that thing come true. And love lays down its life for others. Hear how opposite it is? Come on, we all grew up living at the expense of each other at some level. And love lays down its life. See how perverted humanity got through sin? So Jesus came and became what we were so we could become what He is. He was made to be sin on the cross. Come on, God didn't curse His sin. You got there. There's a cross laying over there. I knew you had one somewhere, Chuck. God didn't curse His Son on there. He put His Son on there and made His Son to be sin. And He cursed what was killing us. He raised His Son from the dead 3 days later by the Spirit of holiness. According to the Spirit of holiness, He raised Him from the dead for our justification. Just as if we've never sinned. Why? Because when He put His Son on the cross, He cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over us. Because He that knew no sin was made to be sin so we could become right in the sight of God. Make a tree good, fruit's good. So you got to start believing that. If you hold on to your own rights, you're going to lose the righteousness of God. Meaning the understanding of it. God always is willing to see you righteous if you'll repent and change. But if you'll see yourself in the righteousness of God, it'll produce the fruit of righteousness in your life. Your trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Your life's for His glory, not your pleasure. Here's what I found. It sounds so stiff when you preach it that way. When you live for His glory, there's so much pleasure. It's ridiculous. It's joy unspeakable. It's good tidings of great joy. Come on. I ain't met a lot of folks with great joy in the church. I haven't met a lot of folks. I've met a lot of folks with circumstances. I've met a lot of folks with a lot of prayer lists. I haven't met a lot of folks with a lot of joy. Because we let all those other things define how we're doing and who we're doing instead of the one in us. Because we aren't in deep relationship with Him. We're just hoping He pulls through. I'm just talking plain.
Come on.
And all of a sudden the greatest part gets robbed. Us becoming like Him. Looking through His eyes and seeing things with more than hope. Seeing things with understanding. Seeing somebody that's doing something so wrong towards your life, and all you can realize is they don't know who they are, and you actually feel compassion for them because the heart of God is in you. And all of a sudden you're not even mad at them anymore, and you can't even cry because of them. You can only cry for them because you know if they knew who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. And all of a sudden it's changing you from the inside. And all of a sudden your wisdom's different and your eyes different. See that lady on the plane when I said, that's a tragedy, when she had a belief system, and she said, excuse me? I said, yeah, it's obvious. You have a bad church experience in your background. And you've given up on Christians and Christianity and church. And you've been reduced to a belief system at the cost of knowing Him and having intimacy with Him and enjoying His intense love for you. She said, you got all of that out of just saying I have a belief system? I said, absolutely, and it's right, isn't it? She said, well, yeah. I said, honey. And I began to say, now watch this. This is a lady that grabbed her book and was trying to run and didn't even know what she was feeling. She's just learned to live in defense. She's just learned to live to protect herself from what? The truth? You say, you're so arrogant. You got the truth. Well, listen to this story. I began to whisper to her and share to her, and I wasn't trying to make a scene. This lady cried so hard 3 times on the plane.
So